Okay, well, welcome to the exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp. I couldn't be more excited. Well, a couple of reasons. I haven't podcasted in a minute. One, I'm excited about the Squid Game Challenge season two. I loved season one, but mostly because this is my friend who is finally joining me on the podcast. And of course, he was on season one of Squid Game the Challenge. Dash Katz, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, it's such an honor to be here, Sharon. We've been manifesting this moment for a while, and I'm finally here. I've been a fan of you for years, long before we were friends. So it's a cool moment for me right now. I mean, if you ever can't find me and Sharon at the events, we'll probably be outside with Izzy.
Yes, that's usually where we're at. No, it's true. Like,
Exactly.
you're just one of the most like positive, real people in the sort of community. So I just love hanging out with you.
Thank
And yeah,
you.
thank you for
A
doing
lot
this.
of trauma, okay? It's made me this way.
All right, well, we'll talk a little bit about it, obviously. We're gonna talk about season two. And obviously I want to relate to your experience. And there's just like a lot of talk online of like this finale that I want to touch on. But let's start
Such a
at the
spicy
beginning.
finale. Oh my God.
It was interesting. But
Yeah.
first of all, for you watching season two, what was that like? Was it weird? Was it like, oh, I recognize this? Like, how did you watch it, I guess?
It's like some of the squids, I know they felt like, oh, these people are coming to our turf kind of vibe, like very competitive. That's just not my nature. I'm like, I root for everybody. I'm not a hater because the only competition is myself kind of thing. So for
That's
me, I'm like, I know how formative this experience was for me. So for 456 people to go through this and just to even sign up, like you're such a badass for going to play the squid game. Like, especially after how insane season one was, like props to everyone who signed up. So I was so excited to have like new squiddies in the fam. Like I love to meet new people. I love to meet new badass people. And if you're going on Squid Game the Challenge, you're a badass. So I'm so excited to have all these new alumni. It's such a crazy experience because, it's my first time being like the alumni to
Yeah, you're
my
like
own
welcoming
show.
them in.
Literally. And I've tried to like do my best of making sure they know like you are
If you need
welcome. We
anything.
are rooting for you. I got you, And I feel like they've
Yeah.
been super receptive. I love the season two cast. I really do.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's interesting too. Like, they're such a big cast, so they're always like little hints of people that are either in the community or have been on a show. Obviously, we had Figgy on your season. There's been a couple people. Were there people this season? There was someone, a couple people from Big Brother, Canada or something? Remind me.
Yes, there was
Vanessa?
one. Vanessa was on Big Brother Canada, the COVID
Great.
season that got canceled.
Yes.
So that's like a
Ugh.
big moment for her. Like she gets to live it out and making it to the end. Like she got to see it through, which I'm so happy for her because how devastating. Like you're living your dream and you got to go home mid-season. Like one person got evicted. Like that
That
was
was
crazy.
horrible.
Oh my
Yeah.
God, it was demon work.
Like, I didn't even
And
remember
yeah.
her on the show, and that's how bad. Like, I'm like, I feel bad because I'm like, they cut it off so quickly. So I was like, I don't
We had to
remember.
black it out. It was dark.
Yeah. Oh,
And
gosh.
then Joan from Survivor Australia. And then there was a girl from Below Deck who was in the O crew with red
Oh.
hair. She's like one of the first numbers, I believe. I
Oh my
forget
God,
her name.
yes. Jess.
I would have to look
She's
at the
from
reality TV
Miami.
fan. Yeah, she's super
Yes.
cute. I followed her. She's super adorable, but she didn't get any screen time, sadly. But there's like five or six people from the LRG org community. So I was familiar with some of these people. And I even coached one player. Well, I actually coached two, but one player that you guys would know because they got featured, which is Mark Levy, player 100.
Wow.
Yes. I've known him since
And
2020.
how do you just from that orgs like
Yes, just from playing, being in the fandom, playing the games, like being super fans, because I was going to the events long before I ended up on TV, okay? I was making the YouTube, I was hustling, making the networking, making friends, And just because this is like always been such a passion. It's been like my number one
Yeah.
passion, been competition reality show since I was 6 years old. So it's so cool to like be a part of it now,
Yeah, so speaking of Mark, like, God, some of that was really hard to watch. What did you think about his edit? Were you proud of him? Did you How does he, did you talk to him after the show? Did he feel okay? Because obviously they're also, he might go back for season three even, right? He's in the vote.
He's in the top five for the vote. And I mean, we can unpack
the five, it was.
But I am so proud of him. Like, I told him, because it's a brutal game. And, you know, the best of people will come out, but also the worst. And with Mark, like, I just told him, just stand up for yourself. Don't give your power away. Because that's something I struggled with, was, like, when I was mistreated in the game, I, like, spiraled from there. And it's like, you never want to give your power away in these games. All you really need is yourself. And if you've one true ally, that's a huge, huge plus. And that can give you that kind of safety in that home. But, you know, you can't please everybody. And if you're pleasing everybody, you're probably pretty lukewarm. That's just not the kind of person I am. Like, you know, you got to be you. And if you're really being you and being true to you, you're always going to have some haters. So I kind of told him, stand up for yourself, keep your head up. And I'm so proud of him because, yes, he got emotional. And I think vulnerability is gorgeous, but he did his big one. And I think he represented his heart and his character so well. And yeah, so I'm really proud of him.
And he got that screen time. So good for him.
Yes. And I call him my daughter. Like, I'm like, you're my kid daughter. Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, Leanne, you're a grandma now. Like, it's too funny. And then it's like a whole family tree because Deja is Leanne Squid's sister. So she's my squid auntie.
What?
Yeah, it's becoming very familial in the squid game.
Okay. Real quick before I ask you more about season two, remind me, like, did you apply and was it a big process or like, talk to me really quick about the application process for a Squid Game.
So I know you have a lot of Big Brother subscribers, of course, because you're the queen of Big Brother media and coverage. Let's just clock it right there. And yeah, of course. So I was like, I got close to being on Big Brother twice. Okay. This is when it was the old casting people. Okay. Mm-hmm. And eventually, like, I it was Big Brother 18 and Big Brother 20 that I got closer to. And let's just, like, imagine a world where I'm on BB20 instead of JC. Like,
oh, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Me and Rockstar, me and Bailey and Haley, oh, it would have been over for the level six, okay? And then BB18, it's like, I could have played with Natalie and Devon. Are you serious? Like, but it's okay. Everything happens for a reason, right? So I was only applying for Big Brother for, because since I was a kid, I was like, I'm going to win this show. Like, this is meant for me. And I would eat that show up, let's be real. But eventually I got tired of having all my eggs in one basket and feeling really led on and played. So I kind of just took my future into my own hands. And I was like, you know what? Let me just stop putting all my eggs in one basket and see what happens. So I only was applying to shows that I really would want to be on. So I sent in my tape for Survivor and Squid Game the same day. I found out about Squid Game because of Meg Malley. Because I did Circle. I was a finalist for The Circle 1 year prior to me getting on Squid Game, right? And I'm so grateful because I feel like I love The Circle, don't get me wrong, but Squid Game is iconic. Like, it's part of this franchise that has an amazing series attached to it. It's like, if I never got my Big Brother dream, like, I feel like everything worked out how it was supposed to, because I'm part of something iconic, you know?
It's also Netflix. Like, that's a big deal. Netflix is huge, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah. And we got Emmy nominated, okay? Big Brother could never. So, well, hopefully one day, you know, because I still root for Big Brother, and I love Big Brother, and I love so many of the contestants, but I'm just clocking the tape.
We get it, because every Big Brother fan knows that, like, we can be critical of the show, like, we still love it, but yeah.
So, of course we love it and we hate it.
Like, yes. Now I'm curious, because you were on the first season, do you think that these second season people kind of, you know, they knew more going in, they benefited from seeing your season, do you think that was a big factor in anything?
Absolutely, because we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into.
Yep.
So yeah, I just, like, applied, and it was a really easy application process compared to, like, other shows. Like, I had done so many interviews. I feel like I only did one interview for Squid Game before I went on. So, but I feel like the people that, like, went in with, like, a lot of attention on them, they definitely had more interviews. And I kind of had to pave my own path. And it's because I really like owned the hell out of every moment. I fought my ass off every second I was in that game that I think I ended up actually being a character on the show.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't a built-in, and you know, no shade to anyone, but like anyone that goes in there with some sort of partner, it's kind of a built-in story that they're hoping works out. And like, obviously we're going to talk about the winner, and she had her brother there at one point. But yeah, I kind of agree with you. If you're going in there, it's definitely solo. You sort of just like pave your own way and like make yourself a character.
Absolutely. I was just like, you know what? This is my lifelong dream. I am going to, and I was fighting for my community. I wanted to give $1 million to trans and queer homeless youth. So I was so passionate. And like, when stuff would come up, like when certain people were being, let's say, homophobic, transphobic, I don't play about my community. So baby, you're target number one, and I'm gonna make sure everybody knows it, kind of thing. But there's a lot y'all didn't see. But it's like, I don't regret anything. I didn't come for anybody first. If you come for me in a game with this many people, baby, I'm coming right back. You know?
That's fair. Did watching it trigger anything for you, or was it like a therapeutic thing, or was it like a trauma thing?
Trauma. Like, it was so fun, and I'm so grateful. And like, I've done work with Netflix since, as like hosting stuff, event stuff, and that's been such a blessing. I'm so grateful for that. But I was really hurt because a lot of the other memorable characters, I think pretty much all of them, got their backstory told on season one. And I just kind of felt like I wasn't really humanized. I was more like a meme, a comedic relief, when it's like, no, I have so much passion within me. I have so much heart within me. And I would have loved for just a moment for the audience to really understand more of who I am. That was one. And then two, I don't like that it was painted like I deserve my elimination, because that was like, it was giving modern day hate crime. And so it's like, allegedly, okay? Yeah, it was really ugly. Like, the guy who eliminated me was blaming me for problematic things that he was saying that people knew. He was like, oh, Dash is the reason people knew. So that's why I got eliminated, but it's not what the edit shows. But I understand it's reality TV. They don't want to touch the edit, on very sensitive subjects, but it's like, I really got the short end of the stick there. But, you know, I can only control what I can control. That's what my mom always told me. So I really took that pain of getting eliminated that way, put it through my art, did the iconic Drag Race coded photo shoots, did my Spilling the Ink series. And, you know, I kind of ran with it, and I'm proud of myself because I feel like I'm one of the memorable names and faces from my season out of 456 people. So, you know, I can sleep peacefully at night with the experience.
No, that's great, because I feel like so many people come out and they just aren't they don't take care of themselves, or they don't handle it super well. And I feel like you just are super well adjusted to like having to deal with an edit that maybe is unfavorable, which is like out of your control. So I actually, yeah, I admire how you sort of handle this, because it's not easy for everyone, you know?
Thank you. That means a lot. And honestly, hey, I'm set up perfectly for a redemption arc. So that's great.
Yes. I wanted to ask you, okay, so let's get into the finale a little bit. Red light, green light being the last challenge. Obviously, it was in the first challenge. What did you think about it being the last? And was there anything that you saw that they changed? Or like, give me your thoughts on that challenge itself.
Oh my God. Red light, green light was so insane. Like, but that's the thing, is I don't regret it. Baby, I signed up for the Squid Game, okay? This is not the Brady Bunch. This is not Barney and Friends. I knew that anything that took grit, willpower, literally like insane levels of commitment to the dream, sign me up. Those are the kind of games that I will always excel at, because I am a bad bitch. And I've survived so much in my life that it's like, I can make it through anything. You know, you want me to be the red light, green light for 7 hours? Baby, I got that. And I was like, I was in the second group to finish for red light, green light. So like, I really ate that up. And so I don't, like, as hard as it was, as brutal as it was, I'm so grateful that the game that cut half the people in my season was in my hands. Yeah. And I feel terrible for the O's. I think justice for the O's, because I don't feel like the game was in their hands.
I didn't love that either. I didn't love it.
No. And especially after meeting these O's, there are so many icons in the O's. Hot people, crazy people, fun people. I'm like, these people deserve
what a waste. To play.
You know,
Damn, like, you're so right, like, though.
Right? Yeah, I keep, sorry, you go.
No, I was just going to say, you're so right, though. Like, at least the red light, green light is in your control. Like, mm-hmm. I don't love eliminating so many people when it's, like, literally there's nothing. Yeah, it just wasn't my favorite. In fact, I would say overarching, I think it took a little bit for me to get into the season. I still prefer season one, and not to be biased, but I still think season one's better. But yeah.
I think that season two's better in some aspects. Like, I think it moves quicker. I think that it's edited better, honestly. I do. I think that they don't have this literal, like, bigot as the main character for three episodes, which is great. But I'm biased. I think the season one people are so iconic, of course. So, you know, yeah. I'm biased. It's like, I'm torn. Like, I think it's, like, a better show, season two. But, like, obviously, I'm going to always choose season one because I'm on it. And, like, my you know.
I think maybe it was the characters. I don't know. I was really invested in season one. I still like season two. Like you said, I think they cleaned up a lot of little things. Like had you been on this season, I guarantee you would have had a backstory shown or something, I would say. Because, like, I they must have went back and, like, refilmed a lot of that stuff, like, especially at the end with them on the street and stuff, right? That's, like, assuming I filmed after.
So that's the thing, is I filmed a 3-hour processing interview after my elimination in, like, a fierce outfit. It was sickening. And literally, I went through, like, so many different traumas in my life, so many different things, why I'm there. So that's why, like, referencing what I was talking about earlier, that was painful for me because I didn't feel humanized and I didn't feel like, so this season, I feel like a lot of people got their backstory show. Not everybody. There are some characters that kind of are in a similar situation to me, like Melissa and Mackenzie, for example. But I do feel like more people got their stories told this season.
Yeah, obviously toward the end, they always like focus on those people. And I do want to, you know, mention the winner, Perla, 7-2, 0-7-2. I was rooting for, how do you say her name, Deja?
Deja,
302. Love her. I loved her, so I was, like, really bummed. But I do want to talk about her because she freaking tore her Achilles. That's no joke. That is a huge injury.
I cannot believe. Red light, green light is forever traumatizing people. I'm telling you.
How did that happen? Like, it just seemed, like, so quick out of nowhere and boom, like, surgery. Like, my brother had just tore his Achilles and he was like, you can't walk for, like, 6 months. It's serious. I don't know.
She's still recovering. Horrible. It's been almost a year. She's still recovering. Yeah, like, she can't work because of it. I feel so bad for her. And she's incredible. So she shares, the reason why she's Leanne's sister in the first place is because they're both 302. There's something in the water, the number 302, I'm telling you. Like, they're motherly icons every season. I love her. She's incredible. So I honestly was happy with Deja or Perla, but I do know Deja personally, so I have that bias there. And Deja's LGBT. Hello. Yes.
Oh, is she? Oh, yeah, she mentioned that.
And I'm so happy that got shown. If you are single and slide into Deja's DMs, okay? She is single and looking.
I love that. You're like a matchmaker. So Perla wins. And, you know, she obviously did the work. She crossed the finish line. But we did see Deja fall. We saw Steven fall. We saw, you know, Vanessa. Like, some of it. Oh, also, we'll talk about Trinity.
We need to talk about Trinity.
Yeah. Do you feel like Perla as a whole is a good winner? Like, are you happy with the season's winner?
The answer is yes. I think that she's iconic to me. She's an immigrant. She's New York. She's a baddie. Yeah. She's a model. She's vulnerable. I love a queen who's not afraid to cry on TV. Like, I'm sorry. Wamber, BB-8, one of the most iconic Big Brother players. I'll say it. She cried through the whole season, but it was giving. I love passion.
It was.
You know? I'm like, yes. If you don't care, why are you here? She cared with every fiber in her being. So I live for Perla. And I love that our winner circle is two women, and it's two women of color. Like, let's get it. The Squid Game, the challenge, winner circle is legendary tier. Like,
okay, well, I want to talk about Steven real quick. Okay. He was obviously sort of the villain of the season, which... could be editing, could be some of his real personality. He previously won $6 million, which he mentioned several times. You know, I don't mind a villain. Like, do I want someone to be mean-spirited? No, I didn't love some of the comments he made to even Perla and stuff during, like, that whatever, the latter thing. But, you know, I like that he was a foil, especially for even Deja. What did you think of Steven, and were you rooting for him or against him?
What do you think? You know me.
Just probably what I, you know, I wasn't rooting for him.
It's a chop. It's a chop. But, like, listen, I'm biased because just like how 302, there's something in the water when it comes to iconic motherly queens, with 183, it's the opposite. It's a dark sided number because the 183 from season one is the one who was my biggest hater, hopped out of the bushes.
No way.
Eliminated me and then hopped back in the bushes, and then karma got him real quick, baby, because you don't ever play with a witch. And so, yes, so the guy who eliminated me is 183, and then of course this man is 183.
Wait, why are the numbers so like lined up with that's so interesting. But wait, what was number? Your number
141, but I'm not the one. So my twin got eliminated in the O's, and he's an asparagus farmer. Like, this diva. And he sent me a message going, I'm sorry I didn't do 141 justice.
No, that's...
And I'm like, it's not your fault.
Send you some asparagus. It's okay.
I know. I'm like, it's not your fault. Honestly, put the O's on season three, in my opinion. They already did the psych check.
Actually, you're right. Because, like, it's not like we're going to recognize them. Like,
exactly.
Just throw them back in there.
Yeah, like, I don't think, like, the ones that, like, got, like, confessionals, you right. know, like, maybe not, because it's, like, we want fresh faces, but, like, so many of those people got maybe, like, 2 seconds of airtime or none, so it's, like, put them back. They're so, I've loved every O I've met. Every one time I meet them, I'm, like, you were robbed. Like, I get
them. Do they walk around with O's on the, you know, how do you know they're O's?
No, because I'll ask. Like, if I don't recognize them from the show, I'll be like, were you an O? And then they're like, yeah. I'm like, I'm so sorry. You deserve better. You know?
Justice for those O's, man. But speaking of, talk to me about the twins. Like, they were big characters in the beginning. And they were a part of this whole big elimination in the first episode or two. I get why they did it. And I get why they bring in these pairs. It did seem like a little forced. I don't know. What did you think?
So I believe that they told people, like, we need a volunteer who are related. That's what I've heard.
Oh.
So it wasn't just any two people volunteer. It was, we need a familial relationship, right? It makes sense from a production standpoint because it sets up, boom, a storyline, right?
Yep.
So with 183 and the twins, even though, like, I do call them the demon twins, like, it's all fun. It's a joke.
Yeah.
Like,
playful.
You know, like, I don't hate these people. Like at the end of the day, the 183, like, he gave good TV, and I will give him his credit for that. I didn't love the microaggressions. You know, I didn't love him bragging about being a millionaire in the game. I'm like, girl, this is terrible gameplay. Like, and I didn't like that he was coming from my mother's, but he was good TV, and I can give him his flowers for that. The twins, they're cute. They look like they could be in, like, One Direction.
Yes, they're like One Direction.
It's given dark-sided. Something about their spirits.
Like, yes!
Right? Do you agree? Like, even from, like, there's a few things that turn me off from them. Number one, their choices of the eliminations, when they had to eliminate three people, not a fan. Not a fan at all. Why are you hating on this queen for wanting a yacht? And she's real. She was like, I'm going to party with my friends. And I'm going to help out my family. So that reason's not good enough for you. I didn't like that. Let the diva diva. And then I
love people were lying. Yeah. Like, she was just being real.
It's like, okay, so we should all just trauma dump on you right now to stay safe. Like, I don't know. It's like, play the game. Take out people that you feel like could come for you or that, you know, strategically it makes sense. Like, I just don't like when this moral superiority thing that happens in these games. It's a game play, you know, play the game.
Facts. That happens a lot lately on Survivor too. And it drives me nuts.
It's been happening a lot this year on reality TV, and it's nasty. It's just like, stop. Like, this is the Squid Game. It's supposed to be ruthless. Like, let's compete. Let's play. I like my players to play to win. And that's not for everybody. It's just my view on things. Some people like the people who are, like, willing to, like, quit or eliminate themselves. But that's just not my vibe. I mean, I would have personally replaced the twins with probably Faith and Samantha would probably be my picks. Pink hair diva. Faith is hilarious. She's so real. Samantha is adorable. That's probably.
You're like, just put all the women back.
Team women and queer people.
Yeah, cut all the men.
Yeah.
Okay. We have to talk about Trinity because we did mention you and I are big fans of these shows, these games. We want, you know, I like hearing people's story, but I don't necessarily love where it's like a competition of whose stories. Like, I don't love that stuff. Now, when it comes to Trinity, I truly believe he does seem like a really, really good person. And so I don't want to like shit on him for that. But as a fan of these games, it was like really, I was just screaming like, please don't do this. Like, what were your thoughts?
I was triggered because first of all, Trinity, you seem like a great person. You clearly have an amazing heart. You're clearly very selfless. All love to you and blessings in your life. It just takes me back to season one, watching that dice game from my couch where I think 10 out of 12 of the players nominated themselves for elimination.
Yep.
Even B, who literally had everything it takes to win, she goes, I know I'm going to roll a six.
I was rooting for
myself.
Her.
I'm like, girl, no. Like, you're witchy ass. You're going to roll a six. Like, take out who you trust the least. It just I will tell you right now, I would never do that. The end game of season one would have been way better and way juicier if I was there. And in my opinion, the only people that deserve to win, in no shade, I love the people that were there. I love all those people. But from a competitive standpoint, from a reality TV superfan's eyes, me, just my opinion, the only people that really, truly deserve to win at that point were Ashley and Mai because they're the only people that didn't nominate themselves for elimination.
Wow.
I like players who are going to have that passion for the win. If you don't have that passion for the win, maybe reality TV is not for you. I'm so sorry. Maybe go on a different show. You know, that's not a competition. But it's like when it, and not everyone views it this way. Because I know a lot of people are like, Trinity, you're a hero, blah, 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 blah. Trinity, I love you, but you sucked the life out of that game. That game could have been so good if people just played to win. That would have been so juicy seeing them all try and deceive each other. It's a game. And I'm like, okay, so I respect all people's religions. That's like, I'm happy for you that you have that comfort in Jesus and everything. But it's like, if you are going to trust Jesus in the sense that if you're meant to win, you're going to win. I don't understand how that was trusting Jesus because he, instead of just letting it play out, he decided, I'm going to go home. I'm going to sacrifice myself. And I do believe he quit, to be honest.
Yeah.
He essentially quit.
I agree. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about a small sum of money. This is life-changing money, not just for him, for his family. And again, it's his decision. I was not happy with that. I thought it really killed the finale a lot.
I will say I'm talking from a viewer's perspective. From a player's perspective, if I'm competing against you and you want to quit, love you, girl. If I win this money, I'll give you a real nice Christmas present. I got you. Like, if you want to make it easier for me to get to the win, I'm cool with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a competitor, it's like, I want to win. So if you don't want it that bad and you're willing to just sacrifice yourself and you're in final five and now I'm guaranteed final four, I would be kissing his feet. I would be so excited. But as a viewer, I want to see the game play out. I want to see everybody compete to win. And I feel like those are the kind of people that should be playing Squid Game because honestly, it's like there was 451 people eliminated before him. I'm sure there were so many people who were there being like, I would have done anything to be in that spot, to fight for the win. And if it was meant for me, it would have been for me. So
yeah,
I just don't, that's my thought.
I secretly just wanted him to be lying and like open his hand. Like I would have stanned him.
Thank you. That's reality TV, honey. That's how you make an iconic moment, is you got to play the game. Yes, if he did it to two people and then the next one, like let's say Vanessa, the final one, he actually tricked her, he would have been a legend. He would have gotten a lot of hate, because when it comes to Netflix viewers, if you play the game in any way savage or like to further your own game, you're going to get hate. It's just, that's the viewership. It's different than the CBS viewership, because I feel like with them, they like want to see like the savage gameplay, like the villain, the like do anything. Netflix is different. It's a different audience. And I learned that the hard way, okay?
I mean, look at The Circle. They all become like best friends and, oh, you know, we're family, and it's like less cutthroat a little bit. This actually takes me back to talking about the traitors, because the thing that annoys me about these shows is that people, and I get it, like part of the game is sort of like a morality thing where like, but they make it very much like, if you're a traitor, you're a bad person. And I feel like on the Squid Games too, like if you're doing something selfishly, how dare you? And it becomes this sort of mob mentality of like you're talking about with the dice, like, no, we have to do it together. Like, and it almost becomes like a morality thing of like, you're a bad person. And I don't love that, because like, guys, we all signed up for this game, right? Am I wrong here? I don't know.
You're absolutely right. And that's why I can't hate on 183 too hard, because at the end of the day, he was playing to win. And I respect that. You know, it was just certain comments I didn't like, and like him kind of downplaying, like when other people be really emotional, it was kind of condescending, like, oh, it's just a game. But yeah, to you, because you're a millionaire. But for these people, it's like they're going to change their lives. So that was kind of what turned me off. Not the fact that he was playing hard and like fiercely, because I respect that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. I just, I'm with you though. Like I want to see people be cutthroat. And so the Trinity of it all just kind of like sucked the air out of the finale for me a little bit. And I did see a lot of people online. I don't know what you saw. I feel like the majority of people were not thrilled with that decision. At least what
it was, it was giving super half and half from what I saw.
Polarizing,
like,
yeah.
He is a hero. Like he did his big one. He was following in Jesus's name. And then other people were like, girl, you sucked the life out of that game. Like, you know, like.
Like he could have won. I don't know. I don't know his family, but I would have been like, what the hell?
Literally, his mom with MS is sitting there like, girl, what? Like, you know, poor lady. Sending her love. And I will say, at the finale, I watched the YouTube video that Netflix posted of like their Q&A. And Trinity said, if I go back, I'm going to be a savage next time.
Which I'm like, you had your shot. I'm sorry.
And people were saying, oh, why isn't Trinity in the five that we can vote for?
No, he quit.
Like, are y'all delusional?
No, that's a quit to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Why are we voting for someone who quit?
That makes no sense. Final five.
Yes.
Like, not even like midway through the game, like, oh, I still don't. You had 1 in 5 chance of winning this money. I don't know. Yeah, no.
And listen, I live for a moment in reality TV. Yeah. Like if you're feeling rock bottom and you threaten to quit, tense. But you don't actually quit. You know, I live for like a moment where it's like goes to cliffhanger and then they're like, I'm going to stay and I'm going to fight. Like that is giving camp and I'm here for that. But you don't actually quit, you know?
Yeah, I know. Oh my God. I'm trying to think, was there anything else in the finale that stuck out? I mean, I almost feel like some of the other episodes were better. I enjoyed it, but even the red light, green light, it felt so quick. I know yours was 7 hours. I wonder how long they filmed.
That's a good question. I mean, I gagged. Like, I'm not going to lie. I loved that the final game was red light, green light. I know that was a controversial thing, but I think it was better than rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
Okay. It actually takes skill, you know, like, and it's just an iconic game in the series. So, like, to have that as the final game, I thought was, like, a cool full circle moment.
Like a throwback, yeah.
Mm-hmm, when 183 fell, I could feel the earth erupting with celebration. Like, it was
crazy. I was shocked.
Him on all fours. Oh, Lord. That was, yeah. Girl.
What... Just overall in season two, like, were there things that you liked a lot compared to season one, or you wish they did in season one, or, you know, anything like that where you were doing comparisons in terms of, like, the game?
I really enjoyed some of these games. Like, I know I was coming for the O game, and I stand on that. Like, not a fan.
Yeah.
I don't like when the fate isn't in the players' hands. But speaking of that, like Mingle, that was so juicy. Oh my God. And then ending it with you're paired up with your marbles. Oh, that would have been, me and Figgy would have ended up together, and that would have been
absolutely right. I feel like you have to expect marbles at some point, but I guess they do pair people up a lot, so like you never really know. But the Mingle, I agree, Mingle was wild. It was
so good, and I loved Slides and Ladders. I thought that was so camp.
It was good. It was like, it's very like cutesy, but like I loved when like you couldn't see where they were going and all that, but like it was hard to follow a little bit in terms of like them going up the board. I'm like, wait, who's where? So there's like little things like that, but otherwise I pretty much enjoyed, I would say, most of the challenges. Yeah,
you know what, I wish it was, our season was 10 episodes, it was 9. I think they could have used the extra episode to just kind of flesh out the dorm life a little bit, show some of these really intense conversations that are happening. I mean, when you're in this situation, these conversations, you're getting really the raw version of people for the most part. So I would have liked to see more of the dorm life, more of the connections, and that would have given more context to like why certain people are going in certain rooms, why certain people feel betrayed. You know, there's always going to be a lot missing when there's this many players, but I would have just liked to see more. I'm like sad it's over so quickly.
you're kind of right, because now that I'm thinking about it, yes, they did flesh out the stories of like certainly the people that were at the end, but I do feel like in season one we had more alliance like sort of clips and sort of people taking leadership roles and things like that. Did we have a lot of that this season? I don't know. A little bit.
Also, I will say they did a better job this year of showing the drama. I do think there was a lot more drama. Like season one, I'm telling you, that cutting room floor, there is...
How much drama were you involved with, Josh?
Oh, I had 100% the biggest fight of the season, which was completely cut out in the bathroom hallway, but I ate it. I was so proud. I handled myself so well. And this was all before the infamous vote. Like, there was so much. If you haven't watched my Spilling the Ink on the YouTube, you're missing out, because there's so much tea that didn't make the edit.
But I will link it below. Go watch it.
I love you. Thank you. That means a lot, because still so many people don't understand the context of what happened, which is something I always kind of have to defend myself on, because this is the thing. I don't mind if I ended up being a villain in the game, if I was playing savagely and cutthroat and like boom, 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 which like that's fine. But show the context of why certain people are getting targeted. Like it's not just random. So anyway, oh my God, the way I clocked, I was standing up for myself. I was so proud of myself. Like I literally left that game being like, I thought I was going to be a villain going in, but I think I'm a hero. I was like, I'm so proud of myself. Like people were so mean to me and I ate them up classily and I blew up their alliance on the way out. Like I'm going to be this hero. Girl, delusion. Delusion was what that was. They played in my face, but I'm still grateful regardless, because a lot of people didn't get at it at all. And at least I had iconic moments on the show. So, you know, take the wins where you get them.
Exactly. You have a good attitude about it. Dash, do you think there's any way to prepare? I mean, obviously you coached a couple people, but like, how do you prepare for Squid Game? Is there like an optimal thing that you should be doing before you go play it?
Absolutely. If anybody's watching this right now that's in the casting process for season 3, you got to start preparing as if you're on the show already now. Get that head start. Get to the gym. Get to yoga. You know, I mean, I think yoga was really helpful in my preparation. I think that really helped me eat up red light, green light. Order those cookies on Etsy. Practice the cookies. Like there you know, these children games, you could order the dice, the ganji, I believe it's called. Like, obviously, season 3 games were not used in season 2 of Squid Game the Challenge. So I would get a jump rope. You know, like I would think of what good hiding spots. Like, you know, like I feel like you just gotta research children games and practice them. I prepared like an absolute psycho because, you know, I've just been my dream since I was 6. So like I was delusional. I like went and I'm being like, I'm gonna win. Like I still believe.
But you need to, yeah, you need to almost, right?
I really still believe I could have won if I didn't get hate crime. So yeah.
Yeah, because I'm just curious. Like, so much of this, I feel like you can prepare for, which is rare. Like, yeah, Survivor, mm-hmm. they switch it up a decent amount. Where, like, Squid Game, yeah, you can assume based on what is on the show and everything. So I'm curious, like, how much people prepared and then how much people didn't. But, yeah, that's...
I know one boy from this season his name's Jackie. He was an O. He literally flew to Korea to get the actual Dalgonas to practice with. Like, this, yeah, he practiced 6 hour red light, green lights with with his AirPods, and like random gunshots would go off. Like it was crazy. Like, his prep is crazy. And
you know what? I like the commitment.
Right? And I'm like, this. And poor him didn't even really get a chance to play. Like, so that's why I'm like, you got to give these O's a second chance. I'm really manifesting that they do, because there's some baddies up in the O's.
It's almost like, why not? It helps with the casting. It's way easier, so.
Oh, yeah. One of my daughters, Danny, was an O, and you can see him in episode one going, these bitches are going to get me killed. I'm like, of course my daughter has that iconic ass line. Like,
yeah, iconic line. Yeah. I do want to touch on something that was sort of in the news on season one, and obviously just share whatever you're comfortable sharing. But, you know, people talked about sort of like also the contestant conditions, and you and I have talked about this of like, I would assume if I'm going on Survivor, I'm not eating, I'm not changing my underwear, I'm not brushing my teeth. If you're going on Squid Game, you're going to probably be freezing cold and all these crazy conditions. Do you think in season two, they like changed anything, or do you think they were like, this is Squid Game, like this is what you sign up for?
Yes, I do think that their living conditions were easier. Improved. From what I've gathered, they had lip chat from day one. That is such a major step up from season one, because that was one of the biggest issues, because there were so many people in that room that the air was so dry and they wouldn't give us lip chat, so people's lips were bleeding. Literally, this one girl had the most gnarly open cold sore, like from dry lips. Like, it was so dark. And then the condoms,
condoms. Yeah,
I did. Like,
you gotta do what you gotta do.
I had no shame. I'm like, girl, I'm trying to win this money. So yeah, that was like a huge step up. The fact that they didn't have to play red light, green light on day one, that like going through that 6 hour saw trap, it's like then playing the game after surviving that, it's like you're already so broken down. So like season one players were already, by the time we got in the dorm, we were already had survived like this insane saw trap essentially. Whereas season two, the exes, they really just had to wait for the twin to press the button. So right. I think that's a lot easier for the exes. Obviously, RIP to the O's. And it seems like the food seemed to be better. I think I saw some beans. The food looked better. Ours was given, it was given dog food. They've stepped it up in the sense that like certain things they did better. Like, they let the cast release their announce. They did the cast announces a week before the drop. That is so smart. Good job, Netflix, on that. Because for our season, we didn't get to announce her on the show until boom. It's like all of a sudden, all five of my episodes were out. That's when I'm announcing. And it's like, then I see the botched edit and I'm like, so it's like, I'm on this show. Like, it was just a lot. So I think mentally, to have that week, even for the people who are in the O's, like, they had a week of being like, I'm on Squid Game, on my Netflix. Like, as you said, that's a huge accomplishment before their people find out, oh, damn, you were, like, robbed in the first game, you know? So I'm just happy, like, mental health-wise, I think that's really important. Like, being able to post your cast photo is such a huge accomplishment for a super fan, you know? And the fact that they got that week of, like, celebration and like flowers from their community, like, I think that's awesome. So I think they did do a lot of step ups for season
that's
two.
Good. I was gonna say, in addition, like, don't you want your cast to be happy? And maybe that also played into it, because I know a lot of people weren't thrilled on the season one, and it's like, well, yeah, you pretty much they signed up for this crazy show and then weren't shown, and just like, okay.
yeah. It's like you're like, even if you didn't get any airtime, it's like you're part of this entire franchise, like the Star Wars of our generation, essentially. Like you're part of it and you're on Netflix and you got chosen out of 100,000 plus applicants. Like it's still something to celebrate. And I always encourage people, like when I talk to some of the O's beforehand, they're like, I don't know if I'm going to post. I'm embarrassed. I want to go on other shows. I'm like, you got to just celebrate the moment and live in the moment. And I encourage them, come to the events. We did the charity, the party in Philly. We did the premiere. It's like, come, because there's still so much you can get out of this. It's not just about the edit. It's about community. It's about finding all these new people that you share like this badass trait with, you know? So I always try and encourage them.
No, I know, because I've seen you in action doing it. And it's true though, like also once you're kind of in the door, I do think it's easier to apply elsewhere and to sort of, you know, I think if you want to continue to do reality TV anyway, so.
Yes. Yeah. And so many people from season one have gone on to do other shows, including Red Light, Green Light, Eliminees. So this is just the beginning if you want it to be.
Okay. Dash, what do you think they should change, if anything, when they do season three? Any recommendations?
Okay. I have something that, like, I would love for them to just drop one episode a week. That's maybe a hot take, because I know Netflix is like the binge streaming. Yep. But it's just like, if you look at Traitors and how they do it, or like, you know what? Traitors, like they drop three episodes and then they do one a week. It just builds, like our season like blew up. Like it was insane.
Yeah.
And it's like, if that had been going on for 10 weeks instead of three, it would have just taken it even more to the next level. I don't know. Just like, it's a lot at once. I don't know if they'll ever listen to me, but I just feel like
that. I don't disagree.
Like, I was really pushing that. Like I was pushing that before it was even released.
But you're right in the sense that, like, it literally, they spent all this money, all this time doing the show, all this time casting, all this money, and it's like over so quickly. Like it literally premiered. Now it's over. No one's gonna be talking about it in 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Like I don't love that. Like I love kind of building the community and having a discourse about the episodes. And I do feel like that's missed a little bit. I don't know how you feel, but yeah, I completely agree.
Like, yes, it's there, but it's just not on the level it would be if we were doing weekly. And another thing that I'm so happy I just remembered in this chaotic brain of mine is for Circle of Trust, nobody should have to put the gift on the desk twice. That makes no sense.
Oh, yeah. Why? Why do they do that?
Like, can we talk about it? Because, like, I don't feel like this is being clocked enough. Like, three people gave gifts. All three of them gave it twice. Then there was the rest of everybody never gave a gift. I'm like,
they didn't explain that either. And it seemed to, like, end randomly. They were like, oh, we're done. But, like, you're right. Was there logic? It wasn't the person who just got the gift. So, like, yeah, what was the logic there? How is that fair?
I don't think it's fair at all. And I'm like, it doesn't make sense. And just from a viewer perspective, it's like, I would have loved to see Deja, for example, put it on someone's desk. I want to see Perla put it on someone's desk. Like, it just then when Perla eventually wins, when Deja eventually gets top two, it just builds their story because it forces them to play in this hard ass game. And like, I want to see that from my finalists. And I feel like Deja, like from when I spoke to her, like she wishes she got that opportunity to put it on someone's desk, you know, or have it put on her. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's just,
especially because she has those skills. I wanted to see her use her, you know, investigative skills.
In season one, everyone had to give it or had it on their desk except for Sam. That was the one person who didn't. But at that point, there was three people left. It made sense. He gets his pass. Okay, I get it. But for this season, the same three people gave it two times. It makes zero sense to me. Once someone gives a gift, the only way they should be able to get it eliminated is if someone puts it on their desk, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're right. I meant to ask about that, but I was like, maybe they just cut it out. But you don't think they cut it out?
They did.
Well, no, they can't, because someone would have gotten eliminated.
Exactly.
Damn. Okay, actually, I have another question about that challenge. And you probably have way more insight, but like, how do they not hear? Are they playing music?
So the people are being really quiet. So
in
season one, you know how Mai clocked Elliot for putting it on her desk?
Yeah.
It's because he said, doom, doom, getting up his...
Like a dinosaur.
His desk said, boom, boom. Like, literally. And so that's how my clock did that.
Anyone, do you want to see more reality people that we know play Squid Game? Like, would you like to see that?
I do. Because I just think it's fun.
Like, yeah, like, throw some Figgy, more people in there.
Like, that, I mean, my best friend from season one was on Survivor. Like, that's crazy. Like, I've watched Survivor since I was six with my mom. It's, like, our thing that we always did together, you know? So, seeing Figgy, and it's so funny because she looked different. Like, she's gorgeous, you know? But it's, like, a different era of her. It's 4 years, 4 or 5 years later. Maybe seven. I think it's 7 years later.
It was a while.
Yeah, because she was 33. But that was, like, so cool. Like, getting to play with someone from Survivor who I became so close with. And, like, I knew, like, she has the strategic mind. Like, us two together, we were just gaming. And I still regret not pushing harder to have her in my boat because she would have survived.
I know. I really actually really enjoyed Figgy on season one. And I wasn't the biggest Figgy fan on Survivor. So, yeah, I agree. I really
It was a more mature, elevated, strategic version of Figgy.
And her, not her and someone else.
Oh, yeah. You know? No, she's much better without that.
Dash, are you interested in playing Squid Game? Or are you like, I'm good with Squid Game. I'm happy to do another show, but like, I don't know if I want to go back there.
Ooh, I like this question. Okay. So I do think it's a bit odd that the season one people weren't eligible for the fan vote. I don't know what that's about. So that, I thought that was kind good of question. Odd. But regardless, like, oh my God, like the thought of going back is stressful, but it's also exciting. Like if I was to go back, I would want to do an all-star season. That would be ideal. Or like a half and half, you know, because I feel like if you're the only one, especially with a big personality like me, that's going to be an uphill battle. And I just feel like if it's all-stars, I would love to play with some of my besties, you know, and like know that I have people I can trust. It's such an advantage when you know you can have someone to trust, you know. Mm-hmm. But I don't love that there's 456 people. Like ideally the next show that I do when it's my time, when it lines up correctly, I would love a 16 to 20 person cast. That would be, that'd be ideal. But if they were going to do an all-star season eventually, cause I have theories that like, I think Squid Game, the challenge is going to be a thing that continues. I really do.
Yeah.
Because some people are like, season three is going to be the last season. There's three seasons of a series. No, I don't think so. Because this is an Emmy-nominated show. This is part of something major. And they're making Squid Game USA. So why would they stop Squid Game the Challenge? It doesn't make sense. It's so successful and it's so good. I think it's their best reality show. It's like Love on the Spectrum and Squid Game the Challenge. Like, are taking it. For me, for Netflix. So I would love.
It's just expensive, right?
They already have all the sets built.
But there's like, you're right.
You know, like all those sets, not all of them, but most of those sets were from season one. So the most expensive thing is giving away money.
The prize.
To the winner, you know? But I'm like, I feel like it's worth it. So I would love to do an all-star season. I'm not going to lie. It does scare me to play with some of these like literal demons. But I also feel like there's a chance for redemption, and I'm hungry for redemption. You know, I really, really, the way that I went out will never sit right with me. So I do want that redemption, but I also trust the process. I know I'm on my journey. I'm honestly still grieving, to be honest. So it's like, I'm not like desperate.
You don't need it tomorrow.
No. I'm like, if something was to come and it felt like it aligned with like my future, I would do another show. But I'm also not like, I'm loving my, like, you know, I love my life. I'm very lucky, even though like, you know, I'm still heartbroken. I'm still devastated. Like I'm still very lucky and I want to remain grateful and I'm surrounded by such incredible people. I love this community. I have an incredible family. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I want to keep going on my healing/elevation journey. It's because I feel like when I come back for redemption, I'm coming for that redemption and I'm coming for that crown, baby. Okay. You heard it here first.
Yes. It's coming. I believe it. I believe it. You're such a Survivor fan. As am I, but like, I'm like, I think I would die out there. Although after going to Fiji, I feel a little better. But how would you be on Survivor? Like, I'm curious about that.
I think I love Survivor. I think it's a better show than Big Brother, but
we all do.
I would thrive on Big Brother more. Like, Big Brother is just such a game for me. And can I just say to the casting, they're very like elitist in the sense of if you've done another show, they want nothing to do with you. Let me push back if anybody from casting is, and I have not applied for anything since Squid Game. I will be real. Just because of the reasons I already stated, you know, it's like, I kind of want what wants me. So, but the thing is, like, if you've touched another show, they want nothing to do with you. And same thing for their talent. If their talent goes to Traitors, for example, they get punished, like how Carolyn did for 50, which I think is such a travesty. And it's very short-sighted and elitist. At the end of the day, Carolyn is one of the hands-down stars of the new era. She's a Survivor legend after competing one time. That's very rare that that happens. And to punish her for going for her dreams and trying to change her family's life, I don't like it. And it's like with Rachel Riley, look what happened. Rachel's done Traitors. Rachel's done a bunch of different shows. They put her on Big Brother and the season got a million times better because she's guaranteed good TV. She's guaranteed.
And those ratings.
Mm-hmm. She's guaranteed rated. She's guaranteed to deliver. You got to have people that are guaranteed to deliver. And baby, I have proved that I guarantee to deliver because they didn't even give me a big edit on Squid Game, but each and every one, and I'm not trying to be cocky, but this is just facts. Each and every one of my scenes on Squid Game went viral on one platform or another. So the proof is in the pudding. I make good TV, baby. So, and I'm a super fan. I'm here to play. So it's like, I considered like, should I send in a tape? But at this point, it's like, I don't feel like that's where casting is, where they'd even give me a chance. But it's like, I don't need to mention Squid Game. Let me go in because I'm guaranteed to deliver. So that's my pitch. I would still love to play Big Brother, but I'm also realistic that it's probably never going to happen as long as the casting stays the way it is right now.
We need to switch it up a little bit for sure. I mean, I just had to think about Survivor because I'm like, I know how diehard Survivor fan you are. And I always think about myself being out there and I'm like, how would Dash do on the island?
I low-key think I would make them the jury would be my prediction. I think I would win Big Brother.
You're dateable.
I'm dateable. Yes, I think I can make it to the jury. I think like mid-jury, late jury. It's giving that. It's giving we got to take this bitch out because they're a threat to win, okay?
But then like, you need to be on the jury serving looks. You need to then be on the jury serving looks and like, you know,
and
we need
the
that.
Reactions, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, exactly. I got it. I got you. Survivor, the thing that scares me about Survivor is the fact that like at any point you can just boom get blindsided. Whereas Big Brother, you have to be nominated. You always know when you're at risk. Whereas Survivor, that unknown of like at any point you could just get blindsided, that scares me. Whereas if I was up against someone, I could always campaign against them.
Don't tell Rachel Riley that, but other than her, she got screwed this season. But
oh my God, Rob.
But robbed queen. But no, you're right. Like you have more control, I think. Socially, obviously, and then there's just like a lot of advantages and idols that you can't really control. So I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But
I think I have potential to win, but I also have potential to be like to flop. So I don't know. Big Brother, I'm not flopping. I promise.
Even if you flopped, you wouldn't flop. You know what I mean? Like you'd still be giving
still
good
deliver.
TV.
Yeah.
So I will take it. Well, Dash, I love talking to you. Please come back. Let's talk about the Traitors when it's on. I'd love to. Are you anyone Absolutely. You're rooting for specifically?
My queen, Tiffany Mitchell. I also love Jam Jam. Like, they're my friends. So if my friend's on TV, I'm a tourist. I am loyal. And it's actually really hard for me. Like when Teenie and Andy were on 47, Andy was getting dragged at the beginning of the season. Teenie was getting dragged at the end. It was a lot. That was emotionally draining because I love these humans so much. I've been with them for years prior to Survivor. So it's like, that's always hard. But I don't think I'll be as stressed because Jam Jam and Tiffany have already, it's like that, their first show is a lot different than their second. I think they're both going to kill it. I'm rooting for them so hard. Love them down. So, also, like, got to row for gotta root for Monet Exchange. She is an NYC drag queen who I've been seeing for probably 10 years. Like, long before she was on Drag Race, I've been going to Monet Exchange shows. So also rooting for her. How about you?
Oh my gosh. I mean, obviously I gotta go with my Big Brother people. Tiffany, love her. Ian, of course. I love Ian. He's such a sweet guy. Of course, the survivors as well. Natalie Anderson's my favorite winner. So,
oh, Natalie's her. Iconic. Oh, this is a good cast.
It's fun. I mean, Rob's on there.
Yeah, there's like Rob. There's
some random people. Like, I watched One Tree Hill and Laguna Beach, but like, I don't know what Stephen Colletti's gonna give. Maybe he's like maybe they want him to be like the new Dylan Efron. I don't know. But we'll see. I'm excited.
Yeah, some of the people, I literally have no idea who they are. I'll be completely honest. But I'm like, for them, you have an open slate. Just give me good TV and you can get my stand card. That's all I ask from a reality participant is give me good TV and play to win.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? Don't quit.
Yeah, Trinity. All love.
Yes, all love. No hate. But yeah, no, Dash, thank you so much for chatting with me today and talking about Squid Game. You know, like, I hope, you know, I'm excited for season 3. I hope they, you know, keep fine tuning it, but it's a really fun show and I thought it was a good season. I think I still prefer season 1, but
that's what I mean. Love you down. Thank you for having me. You are such a beautiful person inside and out. I literally adore you and you. Same. You are it. You are it. So if you're not subscribed, y'all better be subscribed because
subscribe. This is the queen.
Thank you for having me. Seriously.
Of course. So thank you.